tonight. Praise the Lord. I had a message yesterday because I was planning on teaching on communion, and I waited on it all day, and it just never came out right. You know, it's kind of like Brother Hagin used to say, it's kind of like trying to take a bath with chest waders on. There's just something wrong with that picture. It just doesn't work. And so I waited on the Lord, and when I got up this morning, I knew just as sure as I'm standing in front of you what the Lord wanted me to minister concerning communion. But just let me say, in the receiving of communion, you know, the Apostle Paul, who had a great revelation of Jesus, he had a greater understanding of Jesus than the disciples that walked with him. Because he was a man of the Spirit. He was a man of prayer. He knew the Holy Spirit. And you know, he knew that he had murdered Christians. And so he's the one that got the revelation that the one that, you know, that is forgiven of much is the one that's going to love much. And so when he received it, he says, I have received of the Lord that which that the Lord showed unto me, that the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he said, take and eat. This is my body which was broken for you. And then it says, and after the same measure, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. And so they took the blood, you know, and they took the body and they received the communion elements with Jesus Christ. But then he said, as often as you come together or as often as you receive communion, he said, do it in remembrance of me. So that tells me you can take communion whenever you want to. You don't have to come to the house of the Lord to receive communion. He just says, as often as you receive communion, do it in remembrance of me. There's times when you're at your house when you just need to get your grape drink out and you need to get your cracker out and just say, Jesus, it's time for me to remember who you are. You're not just my Savior, but you're my healer. You want me whole inside and out. And so when he received that revelation, he went on. And he made a powerful statement about people that take communion. People in a lot of churches around the world take communion and they miss this part. They know Jesus as their Savior from sin, but they don't know Jesus as their healer. And the Bible says through the mouth of the Apostle Paul, he says, for this reason or for this cause, he says, many are weak among you and many sleep. They die prematurely. And he says exactly why, because they don't discern the Lord's body. They forget to realize that Jesus was prophesied over there in Isaiah 53 when it says he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement needful to obtain our peace and our well-being was upon him. And the Bible says, and by his stripes, it says, by his stripes, the Bible says, by his stripes, it says, we are healed. And then you fast forward in the New Testament after he lived his life out, and the Bible says that that which was written and spoken by the prophet Joel, that himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And then over there in Matthew, it says, and by his stripes, ye were healed. Yeah. He puts it in the past tense. Why? Because Jesus came and received those stripes on his back, and he did it for you and me. Yeah. Now, this is just the introduction. Amen. See, when you take communion, it's a powerful, awesome time to remember what Jesus did for you. Jesus, he is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And Jesus is strong. That's what we're supposed to be, is strong. Jesus is happy. That's what we're supposed to be, is happy. Jesus is whole. That's what we're supposed to be, is whole. Jesus has his act together. That's what we're supposed to do, have our act together. Jesus knows what to do. We're supposed to know what to do because we are the body of Christ. The Bible says, don't you know you're the body of Christ? You're the temple of the living God. Amen. It's God that lives in us. Amen. So, you know, we've been teaching for weeks on healing in the healing school, and I have the people say this, and I want you to say it tonight. Say, Jesus is my healer. Jesus, he's my Savior and my healer. Glory to God. And I don't care if you came in here with sickness racking your body or pain racking your body. Every breath you take, Jesus is my healer. Every step you make, Jesus is my healer. When pain starts speaking to your body, answer it with, Jesus is my healer. Amen. Because that word will activate his healing power in you. The Bible says if the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that He will quicken your mortal body. He'll make it line up with His Word and by His Spirit as you speak it out. It's His quickening Word. It's His Word coming out of your mouth that gets energized by the power of God, and it works signs and wonders and miracles in your life. And so he told me to tell you, you need to say it all the time, Jesus is my healer. And when we were praising the Lord over there, He gave me a fast forward. You know, people set the bar on how long they think their life should be. Well, did you know that 120 was what the Lord spoke in the Old Testament? You know, when man sinned and, you know, there was a flood on the earth, the Lord was put out with the people and how they were living. And when they made it through the flood, God told Noah, He said, you know what? He says, I'm really, really put out with the people and the way they've been living, but I'm going to make it from now on that they're going to have a certain amount of life. But He said the span of their life is going to be 120. Oh, I know you're going to get quiet when I talk like that. But that was old covenant. The Word says we're under a better covenant established on better promises. Some of you get into your 50s and 60s, and some of you into your 70s, and you know your body don't work quite as good as it did. But my Bible tells me there was an old covenant man named Moses that was 120 years old, and he still had a buff body, and he still had the six packs, glory to God, and he had perfect 20/20 vision. And the man was 120, an old covenant man. What's our excuse? Amen. I'm telling you, folks, I don't care how old you are tonight, raise up the bar. Amen. Forget about 70. Moses lived to be 120. If God is no respecter of persons, why can't you live to be 120? I'm just saying. In Exodus 15:26, when the children of Israel were delivered out of bondage, the Lord spoke to him, and He didn't say, my name is Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord, your peace, although He was. He didn't say, my name is Jehovah Jireh, I am your provider, although He was. He told the children of Israel, the first covenant name that He gave them is, I am Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord, your healer. That was old covenant. But here's the thing about it. He said, I am Jehovah Rapha. I don't know about you, and I'm not an English major, but I know enough about the English language to know that the word am is always present tense. So if He says, I am the Lord your healer, when He said that to the children of Israel, He could pop up any time from then until now, and He still is, I am the Lord your healer. Amen. Say, I am. Will always be. I am. But He isn't just I am. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He didn't say, I'm the Lord that puts sickness on you. He didn't say, I'm the Lord that puts you through stuff so you can learn stuff. No, He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. What does a healer do? Heals. Oh, you guys are deep with me tonight. What does a healer do? Heal. If I was to write a job description of a healer, it would not be hard for me to come up with one job description to make it simple. What does a healer do? Heal. There you go. He's always, I am the Lord that healeth thee. If the doctor tells you got cancer, that doesn't change the fact. He's still, I am the Lord that healeth thee. If you've got problems with your breathing, it doesn't change the fact. He's still, I am the Lord that healeth thee. If you've got nerve problems, it doesn't change the fact. He's still, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Are you getting this tonight? The Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Well, to magnify the Lord, you got to magnify the healer because the Lord is the healer. Then, you know, this is a prayer that we all pray over the food. We say, Lord, we pray that You'll bless this bread and this water, and that You will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That's the promise. Let me give you the verse so you'll know I'm not just making this stuff up. Exodus 23:25. The Lord says, if you hearken unto me, I'll bless your bread and your water. He says, and I will take I will take what? He says, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So if you have sickness in you, you need to begin to proclaim, thank you, Lord. You said you'd bless my bread and my water, and you said you would take sickness away from the midst of me. Now, let me say something. I said this in healing school this past Sunday. I'm not going to make this statement to scare anybody in here. But I will say, you've seen it on the news, where these beef producers and poultry producers have put antibiotics in different foods, right? They put antibiotics in the food that the animals and the poultry are eating, right? They put antibiotics in there, whether you guys realize it or not, and they've been doing it right along. And now because of that, these super strains of different types of sicknesses and diseases are popping up in people, and they're trying to give them the same antibiotics that used to knock the daylights out of it and make them quick, you know, quick and make them heal real quickly. But it doesn't work that way sometimes nowadays. I'm not saying that to scare you, but I am saying that for you to know that when you pray over your food, don't just do it mealy-mouthing. When you pray over your food, you mean it with your heart and say, thank you, Lord, that you bless the bread. Thank you, Lord, that you bless the water. Thank you that you bless the meat and the taters, Lord, and that you bless the dessert. And thank you, Lord, that you take sickness away from the midst of me. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2 that it says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is working in the world, but if you begin to take the promises of God and say, Lord, I don't care what's out there. I don't care what's coming down with other people. I thank you that one thing is certain, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes this guy right here free from the law of sin and death. I am the healed of the Lord in Jesus' name. I'll be the healed of the Lord when I put my head on my pillow tonight. When I sleep tonight, I'll be the healed of the Lord. When I wake up tomorrow morning, I'll take a deep breath and put my feet on the ground and say, thank you, Lord, I am the healed of the Lord. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes this guy free from the law of sin and death. I am free, free, free tonight. And I'm going to walk free, stay free, and live free. Amen. Hallelujah. See, these promises, you can't take them lightly, folks. I'll tell you, we need to learn to live by faith. We talk about the just shall live by faith. We need to learn to do it. Then you remember over there in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was talking to the disciples and he talked about a couple different incidents, and you know, he mentioned Naaman as well. But he says, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you something. There's going to be a time down the road when there's going to be a proverb spoken about me. And they're going to look right at me, Jesus said. And they're going to say to me, physician, you heal yourself. Isn't that right? And you guys know that when they were mocking him and beating Jesus right before he went to the cross to die for you and I, he was being mocked and ridiculed, and they were beating on him. And don't think there wasn't blood coming out, and don't think it didn't hurt. Don't think that Jesus enjoyed it for a second. But all the while he was doing that, he was being wounded for our transgressions. He was being bruised for our iniquities. But he made a statement that sometimes people miss. He said, it's going to be a proverb that'll be spoken about me, and it's going to be like this. Physician, you heal yourself. If you are the physician, you heal yourself from what's going on here. Well, he knew that he couldn't. He had to take it for you and I, according to Isaiah 53, and he did it. But the point of it is this. The people called him a physician. Don't forget that. Jesus is Jesus. But Jesus is Dr. Jesus. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is the perfect physician. And now, I already talked about what a healer does. What does a physician do? A physician tries with everything within their being, with all the ability and resources they have, a physician does everything they know to do to bring health and healing to people. Is that not right? And the reason why you have to talk this way is because people sometimes think that Jesus just lets all this kind of stuff come into your life because you need to learn something from it. No. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus is the great physician. And we need to know that. And then, you know, he gives us the vehicle to be healed. Let's turn to Psalm 103 real quickly. Psalm 103. Is this helping you tonight? I hope it is. I hope you're listening with your heart. In Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all thine iniquities." We like that part, but it doesn't stop there. It says, "Who healeth all thy diseases." Amen. Let's read on. "Who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies." That's all God has for you, is loving kindness and tender mercies. And then it says, "And with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." See, he puts his word in your mouth, which is good. And his word renews you. His word renews your strength. Amen. It renews your vitality. It renews your youth. His word comes into your heart and it causes you to feel younger and to look younger and to act younger. And glory be to God, to be a lot younger in body than people all round about you. Amen. You say, "Well, how do you know that, Brother Dean? How do you know that? That when you get his word in your mouth, how do you know that he renews your youth like an eagle? How do you know that, Brother Dean? You tell me how you know." I'll tell you how I know, because I have 5 grandchildren. That's how I know. And my oldest grandchild is in her 3rd year of college. You say, "Brother Dean, I didn't know that." Well, you do now. Glory to God. Amen. I let the word come in me and renew my youth. Hallelujah. If Moses, see, here's the thing about it. You know, I like the way sometimes the Lord brings me his promises. He told me this years ago about Moses. He said, "Life might not always be a bed of roses." He says, "But remember, you're made out of the same stock as a guy named Moses." Oh, that went over real big. Tell your neighbor, say, "Life might not always be a bed of roses. But remember, you're made out of the same stock as a guy named Moses." Amen. Glory be to God. The man lived to be 120, and he was just as strong at 120, Steve, as he was when he was 60 and 70 and 80. Glory be to God. See, that's part of this end time sign and wonder thing. Amen. We are going to be bright lights shining in the midst of a dark and crooked world, because when people don't know what to do, we're going to be saying, "You know what? You might not know the right doctor, but I do." Now, look, I'm not against doctors. I see doctors. I go get my annual checkups. I get my blood work, have my blood pressure checked. I do all that. But I know who my great physician is, and I don't forget it. Amen. We always have to be mindful of that. You say, "Well, how does God bring healing to you?" Well, in Psalm 107 and verse 20, the Bible says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." How does God heal you? He sends his word to you. Listen to me. You say, "Why is it important to be in his word?" Because his word has the power in it to do what it says it'll do. And his word, oh, this is so good, Carl. His word will work on your liver. His word will work on your heart. His word will work on your blood. His word will work on your mind. His word will work in your arteries. His word will work in your veins. His word will work in your legs. It'll work in your arms. It'll work in your eyes. It'll work in your ears. It'll work in your feet. Glory to God. It'll work in every internal organ. His word will work in every part of you. He's given you his word in the word, but you have to take that word, because we're going to say this in a minute. But tell your neighbor, God's word is not just his word. God's word is medicine. Some of you didn't know that. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus has given us his word because in his word is the Rx. It's the perfect prescription for whatever ails you. It'll cure what ails you. Let's look at real quickly Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 20 through 23. Watch this now. His word is the vehicle for your healing. If you get his word in you, his word will get in your kidneys. If you get his word in you, it'll get in your heart. If you get his word in you, it'll get in your liver. Glory to God, and your liver won't quiver. Well, it might while he's healing the thing, you know, but anyway. If your mind is messed up, get his word in your mind, and your mind won't be messed up. Amen. In fact, when his word gets in your mind, it'll run out that stinking thinking. Some people need a little Holy Ghost overhaul sometimes between the ears. Did you know that? It renews your mind, quickens your body. But he says here, my son, attend or pay attention to my words. Pay attention to my words. He says, incline your ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep my words in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they, my words, they are life. It'll make you have a longer life. It'll give you a better life, a better quality of life. Because my words are life unto those that find them. See, you got to look for those words. You got to be in the word. You got to be digging. Tell your neighbor, I can dig it. If you can dig it, I can dig it. Amen. Amen. You can be healed tonight. Can you dig it? All right. That's kind of retro language, Carl, but it'll work anyway. For they are life unto those that find them, and health or healing, and the literal translation means medicine to all your flesh. So that means if you get the word in you, you know, some doctor can say, look, you know, I've checked you over. We've done the blood work. We've taken the x-rays. We've done the CAT scans and all these kinds of things. And this is your condition. I can't lie about it. This is your condition. Well, that might be the case. But how many of you know that's not the end of the story? Because he just said right here, if you pay attention to his words and incline your ears onto his sayings, and you don't let his word depart from before your eyes, but you keep his word in the midst of your heart, it says it's life unto those that find them, and healing and health and medicine to all your flesh. I said to all your flesh. Some of you over here, you need me to say it over here. His word is health and healing to all your flesh. All of it. Not almost all. Not every bit of your flesh, but no, his word is health. His word is healing. His word is medicine to all your flesh. And the thing about it is because his word is seed, the problem with some people, because they get the word in them, but sometimes they're playing catch up. And the word says, don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season, you will reap if you don't faint. You will reap if you don't quit. You will reap if you don't give up. But you got to keep that seed going in, and you got to keep watering that seed, because he said he sent his word for a purpose, for a reason. He said, I sent the word. He sent his word and healed them. His word came to heal you. And just like Jesus was on the earth in his body the first time, when he left, he said, I want you guys as my disciples to know that the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works than these shall you do, because I'm checking out. I'm going to be with the Father. And he said, the reason you're going to be able to do the same works that I did is because when I check out, he says, I was your comforter when I was here, but he says, I'm going to send to you another comforter. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the power of God on the inside of you. He says, I'm going to send another comforter. He says, and when he's come, he's going to bring all things to your remembrance, whatever you've been heard, and he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. And he's going to show you things to come. Pastor's been talking about that, but we're talking about it in the text of healing tonight. We need to know that Jesus is our healer. And when we sang about nothing is impossible, that is the exact truth. Yeah, listen to me. I don't know how that word works. I can't explain it to you, but I do know this, that he said the word is like seed. He says the word is planted in the ground, and that word is watered through a process of time and through the sun and through the heat, and you keep watering that word. And it says the farmer, if he's smart, he doesn't keep going back there and digging up that word, because he knows if he digs the seed up, it'll never grow. So he keeps the seed in the ground by thanking the Lord. So once you begin to thank God that Jesus is your healer, and you claim the promises of healing, every time you think about it, you just lift your hands up and say, "Thank you, Lord, I'm the healed of the Lord. Glory to God." And you go to bed thinking about it, and you see yourself that way. It's good for you to take the time to have some Selah moments, where you just find the scriptures concerning healing, and you just look at them, and you just thank the Lord and say, "Glory to God, they're mine, because every promise in the book, it's mine in Jesus' name." And just keep thanking the Lord. And even though your body might be talking to you, and you're still going back and seeing the doctor, it doesn't change the fact that His word is forever settled in heaven. In fact, he believes in His own word so much, He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My word will never pass away." He said, am I like a man that should speak one thing and do another? No, God is not a man that He should lie. Whatever He said, He's going to do it. He's going to make it good. Amen. Glory be to God. And so healing belongs to each and every one of us. We don't have time to get into some of these other scriptures I had, but remember this concerning Jesus, that in Hebrews 10 and 38, it says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you ever read about Him healing anybody, in the days that He was here on the earth, He's still here to heal just as much tonight as He was then. And you know, you guys are going to think I'm a little bit strange to say this, but you know, His word is healing to us. And there's one scripture that I want to, if you guys can put it up here, you can help me out with this. But I'm going to give you, I'm not going to give you a bunch of steps to do. You know, a lot of preachers will do that. They'll say, "Well, do these 10 steps and, you know, take these in succession. Do the first three and then wait a little bit and then get them going and then do the next three. And then, you know, you'll finally come to number 10. And hopefully by the time you go through all these steps, you'll get what you need." I'm going to give you one step that I believe can put you on the right track. See, here's the thing about it. Jesus said, "If you continue in My word, you'll be My disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Remember when Pastor was preaching from Psalm 106 and 126, rather, when he said, "When we were delivered from the captivity, we were like those that dream again, and our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing." I'm going to give you one simple RX that can change the way you think, can change the way you live, and can change the way you operate. I'll tell you what, it'll put you on the road to health and healing quicker than any other way I know. Brother Hagin said years ago, he said, "It's my calling to teach people faith." But he said, "It's an absolute fact that when the Bible says in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, 'Don't be sorrowful anymore, but remember that the joy of the Lord, that's your strength.'" And he talked about these guys that were told they were going to die. And you know what they did? These guys weren't even born again, but they got these old Laurel and Hardy movies. And they got these old Buster Keaton movies, these old 1920s movies, these old reel-to-reel comedy movies, and just got in a room and watched these funny movies for hours on end. And you know what they did? Without anything to do with the Word of God or Jesus, they laughed themselves happy and healed. Amen. So let's get that scripture up there if we can. It's found in Proverbs 17 and verse 22. Can we get that up there, gang? If we can, it's okay. I guess we can't. Are you in your Bibles? Can you find Proverbs 17? There we go. Watch this now. It says, "A merry heart does what? Like what? But a broken spirit dries the bones." You know what dry bones is? Dry bones is a guy that I've known about for a lot of years. Dry bones, in today's vernacular, in the medical field, it's known as arthritis. He's a guy you don't want to know anything to know about or be anywhere around that guy. But it says here that a merry heart will do you good like a medicine. So you need to learn that when you wake up in the morning, just pray like my family and I do. We wake up in the morning and say, "Thank you, Lord, that this is the day You've made and we're going to rejoice and be glad. And I've made the choice to rejoice. A smile is my style. I'm up on being up, and I am down on being down, and I'm down on wearing a frown." Amen. So you want to take a little medicine right now? Well, six of you do. What about the rest of you? Come on. We're going to take our medicine. Sometimes you say, well, why do I need to do this? Because you need to do it. I'm telling you. He says a merry heart will do you good like a medicine. It'll get the medicine of the word working in you. You ready to take your medicine? Okay, do this with me. You ready for this? Ha, ha, ha. 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 Ha, ha. Ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. Ha, ha. Say, why did you do it like that? Because I wanted to get you laughing. If I'd have gone, ha, ha, you'd have probably been just ha-haing with me. But when I go, say, ha, ha. See, there's something wrong with that picture. It feels good to be happy. When you're happy, God is happy. Because that's where he, you know, that's his target for you. He's got a target on you for you to be happy. Amen. Because he knows that his word, glory to God, his spirit wants to bring medicine to you. Hallelujah. So he wants his body strong. He wants his body happy. But just remember this. Say, Jesus is my great physician. He's got the prescription for me to be healthy and strong. He's got the vehicle. It's his word. He sent his word to heal me. And every day I need to take my medicine. So I'm going to wake up with ha, ha, ha on me. I'm going to take ha, ha, ha to work. I'm going to show my mate, ha, ha, ha. I'm going to show my neighbor, ha, ha, ha. I'm going to show my friends, ha, ha, ha. I'm going to show people at the gas station, ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Hey. Hey. Sugar works better than vinegar any old day, I'm telling you. Amen. You want to be a magnet for Jesus, just wear a smile. You know, I've said that for years. When you don't know what to put on when you come to church, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and put on a smile, and it won't make any difference what kind of thread you got or don't got. Praise the Lord. I'm glad Jesus isn't religious. Amen. Now, he's fanatical about you and me. He wants us healed. He wants us whole, and he wants us strong. But he wants us to know that he is our great physician. And this right here, this Bible, that's your medical manual. Glory be to God. It's got the RX for everything you need. If you're depressed, it's got the RX. If you got something wrong with your back, it's got the RX. You got something wrong with your ankles, it's got the RX. You got something wrong in your relationships, the RX is right here. This is his medical manual. And it'll cure what ails you. Hallelujah. Get it in you, and it'll work every time, because this is his medical manual, and he's the great physician, and he's always got the right prescription. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Well, are you ready to receive communion tonight? Yes. Amen. Let's get some guys up here to help me. Tommy and Robert, would you do that? And let's go ahead and bow our heads, because part of receiving communion is to examine our own heart. It says if we do that, then we'll not be judged. And I'm thankful that the Lord loves us enough to give us the opportunity to examine our own heart. And so, as these communion elements are being passed out, they're going to give you the symbols of the body and the blood, the wafers and the juice cup. And as you're doing that, I just want you to take the time to just bow your head and just ask the Lord to help you to search your heart. You remember when the Lord was talking about bringing your gifts to the altar, he says, if you have aught against any, he said, just leave that gift at the altar and go to that one and make sure that you get things restored, because the Lord himself said that if you don't forgive other people, then there's no way that the Lord can forgive you. And the Bible tells us, blessed are the merciful, because they'll obtain mercy. And I'm telling you, there's going to be some times in your life when you'll do something that you're probably ashamed of or you have some guilt about, and you feel really bad, and you've wronged somebody that you love or somebody that's near to you, and you'll feel bad about it. But the thing that will help you to be able to deal with that situation is for you to know in your heart that if you've shown mercy to other people, then the law of sowing and reaping will always work for you. And mercy is God coming on our side and and being good to us when we don't deserve it. And that's what the Lord loves to do. That's why the Bible says He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. So He wants us to be forgiven of our sins, but He also wants our mind to be totally and completely clean and pure. And He wants our relationships right. That's what a healer does. That's what Jesus does. That's what the great physician is all about, making us whole in our spirit and in our soul and in our body. And the neat thing about receiving the communion elements tonight is that from Wednesday until this Sunday, we're going to have several days to go and show Jesus to people that we know and tell them we serve a Jesus that's wonderful, that's in love with us, that favors us, that's merciful and good and kind and compassionate, gracious, that He cares so much. And you know, we can be like Paul, who said that the one that's been forgiven of much will be the one who will love much. And when we look at people that are out there, we can say that there, but by the grace of God, go I. I don't know about you guys, but I was in combat overseas when I was 18, 19 years old and saw young people that were my friends one minute and gone the next. And when I came back to America, I kissed the ground because this nation that I used to complain about, I found out it was a whole lot better place than what I thought it was. And there's no place like America, I'm telling you. We have freedoms that other people dream about. And we take it for granted all the time. So when you take communion, just think of all the goodness of God. You know, He's been so good to us. He's been so good. And understand that whatever condition that you came in here tonight with, that the Lord loves you exactly like you are. And that by faith you can receive His forgiveness. And by faith you can forgive yourself. And by faith you can receive your healing. And by faith, even if you have to, you close your eyes and you see yourself whole. You see yourself healthy. You see yourself strong. Glory to God. You see yourself like Moses, living 120, strong and healthy with good vision. Amen, because that's His heart. So when you guys receive your communion elements, and we do that just in a moment here, just make sure you've taken the time to forgive yourself, and that if you've had aught against anybody else, just pray for them. Just take a moment and pray for them. That's what I do. Someone does you wrong, pray for them. You start doing that, and you know what will happen? You'll end up loving them. You really will. Jesus wants us strong. He wants us healthy. He wants us whole. He wants a heart filled with peace. He wants us to be able to look ourselves in the mirror and not be ashamed. And that's why His love for you is not based on you being perfect or doing everything right. No. He abounds towards you with love. And the Bible says that He rejoices over you with singing. So every time the Lord even thinks about you, He breaks out into thanksgiving because He loves you so much. He's an awesome, awesome God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just remember what I said in the beginning, that he said that his body was broken for us, and then he said his blood was shed for us. But then you read that text in 1 Corinthians 11. It says, for this cause many are sick and weak. And he said, many die prematurely. Why? Because they don't discern the Lord's body. And that's one thing I can tell you. When you come to this church, I don't know what you've been taught before you came here. But when the Lord talks about himself, it says in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, it says, he that knoweth not God knoweth not love, because God is love. So if I describe my God to you, I could say it like this. God is love is 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 God is love. And I could say it 24/7 for all of time and eternity, and I'd be right every time, no matter what I called him. And so love is perfect. And the word says that the reason why people don't have confidence towards God is because they haven't been made perfect in love. But the Bible goes on to say, but perfect love casts out all fear. And I'm telling you, when Jesus came into your life, whether you realize it or not, you know what he did with fear? He kicked it right on out. So fear is something that tries to come from the outside in. But remember that perfect love casts out fear. It says the only reason people ever fear is because they don't know how good God is. If you know that God is for you, which he is, and he's the same, and that he's always watching over you, you can put your head down on your pillow at night and you can sleep soundly because you know that he's watching over you. In fact, it says his eyes are over the righteous, his ears are open unto our cries. And when it talks about our God, you say, well, Brother Dean, how do you know that I'm going to make it in these last days? How can you say that it's possible for me to be healed? How can you say that I'm going to be strong? How can you say that I'm going to be in God's will in these last days, in the right church, in the right position, in the right job, in the right relationship? How am I going to be able to do that? How can I be assured of that? Well, the reason why I can confidently tell you that you're going to be where you're supposed to be is because it says when Jesus was raised up to the throne, it says that he sat down at the right hand of the Father on high, where he ever lives. I said, where he ever lives. Where he ever lives to do what? To make intercession for you. And I'm telling you, because he's praying for you, everything's going to be all right. Because he's praying for you, he's going to turn things around and put things in order for you and make your life be what it's supposed to be. So quit struggling and just start thanking God. Thank you, Lord, you're ever living to make intercession for me. So whatever it is that I'm facing right now, glory to God, I'm going to put on ha, 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 because God's fixing it. God's bringing it in line. Amen. God's setting me up for a miracle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we're at the table together and we're receiving these elements to remind us that God has our number. Say, God has your number. You're number one. Amen. Well, Father, we just lift up the element of this bread, and Father, we break it right now and we take in faith and we eat, because your body was broken for every sickness and every disease. And we thank you, Lord, that by your stripes that we were healed. And because we were healed, we are the healed of the Lord. We take your body, we take this symbol, and we thank you, Lord, for your healing in Jesus' name. Go ahead and take it. Thank you, Lord, for releasing your healing anointing in this place tonight. Lord, we just release your healing anointing to flow in this place tonight. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you walk the aisles of this sanctuary from side to side and from front to back. Jesus, we thank you that you bring healing to those that need healing in this house, that you touch them with your healing power and your healing anointing. We thank you for it. We receive it in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we lift up the cup, which is symbolic of your blood that was shed for our sins. And we thank you, Lord, that by faith, we thank you, Lord, that when you ascended on high and you sat on the throne, that you presented your blood before the Father. And when he saw the blood that was shed by you, Jesus, for our sins, that 2,000 years ago, that sin became no problem because the debt for our sin and condemnation and guilt and inferiority was taken care of by the blood of Jesus. And that, Lord, from that day on, that you pronounced our sins as washed and not guilty. And so, Lord, when you see us as your children, you see us through the blood of Jesus. And that blood makes us whole and healthy and strong and clean. So we receive this communion element, symbolic of your blood right now, so that we can be forgiven and whole. In Jesus' name, let's partake.